Amen. Turning your Bibles into Psalm chapter number 3, into the Psalm chapter number 3 today. Extended nursery is dismissing to go down with their kids up to the kindergarten age are dismissing to go down. And teenagers only are helpers. Teenagers only are helpers. And they're going down this morning. If you found Psalm number 3, we would ask you this morning to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And we trust this morning that God will just bless your heart in a mighty way. And as you're still turning and as you're still looking, I want to remind you, start telling folks about December 6th in the evening service. Brother Everett Britton will be with us. If you've never seen him, he's the chalk artist that sings and does a chalk drawing. He always has a tremendous program. He's probably the best that I've ever seen at doing that. And he's always a blessing when he comes. Invite folks out. You can get folks to come sometimes when they won't come for anything else. They'll come for a special service. And we've had some people in here that you would never have dreamed would be here. Praise God. God, and through his ministry, God has spoke to some hearts. So you be much in prayer about that. Be mindful of that and invite folks to come out to that. Amen. And we know that God will just touch hearts and touch lives in a special way. If you found Psalm number 3, the Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hills. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace, please? Be seated. I want to preach to you the thought, on this thought this morning. He's enough for me. Amen. And I guarantee you, he's enough for you this morning. How many this morning can say that God has been enough for you in your times of trouble and in your times of trials in your life? Amen. How many have been through some storms and been through some battles and have found that God has been enough? Amen. You ought to give him some glory and praise this morning. Amen. Because we're here to uplift him and to glorify him. David is at a point in his life where he's now an older man, and he's seen much trouble in his family. You see, David had sinned an awful sin, and because of that sin, it just kept manifesting itself in things that have happened in David's life and in David's family. But in everything, David has found out that God has been enough. Amen. God was always enough, even before he sinned, when he faced issues and he faced problems and he faced trials in his life. He found that God was enough. Amen. Before he ever slew the giant, he'd already, as a young man, as a young boy, a teenager, no doubt, killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. God was enough. Amen. David said, God delivered him into my hand. God gave me the victory. God was the one that had brought me through this. It was God and not me. It was God and his ability and in his strength and in his power that came by and gave me victory in my life. How many have found victory in your life because God has been there for you? Amen. And then David went down to the valley of Elah and stood before the giant Goliath when everyone else was hiding in their trenches, when everyone else was cowering in fear. David said, I will go and I will smite this Philistine, this one who's blaspheming, and this one who's tearing down the name of the living God. He said, I'm going to go and stand because it won't be me standing there alone. He said, the Lord will give the victory. He said, the Lord is going to go with me. David had been in times in his life where he knew that God was enough. Amen. When he walked down in that valley and he picked up them five little stones, He wasn't relying on them stones. Amen. He wasn't dependent on the stones. He had Saul's armor and he shook it off and he left it behind. He said, I haven't proved these. But you know, he said, I proved God. Amen. I haven't proved these, but I know what God can do. I'm not sure about all this, but I know what God can do. And I know that God can give me a victory. David had seen victories. David walked down in that valley and stood before that giant. And that giant said, am I a dog that you come with me with staves? Am I a dog that you're going to treat me this way? And you're not going to send a soldier to fight? Only he didn't know that the mighty one, the captain of the Lord's host, was going to be the one doing the fighting that day. Amen. He stood before a worthy opponent. And when David slung that stone and he let it fly and it hit the giant between the eyes in the forehead and it knocked him out and David took his sword and cut his head off, he realized that God had given the victory and he gave glory unto God for the victory. He accounted the victory that was won unto God and everything. God had been enough. God had blessed David as he run from Saul and as Saul sought his life and God had kept him in safety and God had protected him and watched over him and kept him in all that he went. David realized and David knew. And David claimed many times throughout the book of Psalms of the times that God had sustained him, the time that God had encouraged him, the time that God had blessed him, and the time that God had lifted him up when he felt so low. He realized that when he had nothing, he had everything because he had Jesus, and Jesus was enough. Amen. But David sinned. And God told him because of the sin, there's going to be trouble in your household. There's going to be problems. You know, sin always brings problems. Amen. Sin always causes issues. Sin always has something that we need to deal with. But David knew that God would bring him through all these trials. David would bring him through all the troubles. Or God would bring him through all the troubles. David knew that he had one to lean on. Amen. Who had been there before. He had one to call on. Who had blessed him before. When his child died, that was a result of an unholy relationship and an unholy act of adultery and a murder that caused the woman's husband to be killed. And that child died. David said before he died that he was making supplication. He was fasting and praying before God. And when they told him the child was dead, David rose up and ate. And they said, how can you eat now? He said, listen. He said, I can't bring the child back to me, but I can go to where the child is because I know that God is able and God is sufficient. Amen. Even in the midst of his deepest sorrow, he found strength, he found solace, he found comfort because God had been there for him before and he knew God would not forsake him now. But we see as time goes on, and the different problems, he faces civil war amongst the tribes, and he faces trials of dealing with people and dealing with some of his own men that just cause problems. And he was always dealing with a problem of some kind, but he always had one there to help him. Amen. Amen. But it come the time when the chickens come home to roost, and one of David's sons fell in love with one of David's daughters. And you got to understand, David had a multitude of wives. Still not right, but it happened. And basically, he tricked David's daughter into coming into his bedchamber. And he'd done the most horrible, the most unthinkable thing. He raped her there. Broke her. Left her shattered. And then sent her away. what he desired and what he longed for and what he lusted after for so long, and what he finally grasped when he shouldn't have. Now he rejected and he put away. You see, that's what sin will do for you. Sin will never, never, never satisfy you. I don't care how much you try to find satisfaction in a life of sin. In the end, sin will bring destruction. Sin brings disillusionment. Sin will bring discouragement. He was disillusioned, and she went away discouraged and brokenhearted and broken because she was no longer who she was and wanted to be. And she could no longer represent the king as she wanted to represent because her purity had been compromised by this one. But David's son Absalom was her brother. And he knew that one day he was going to get even with this man for this evil deed. And he used the same ploy. He tricked him into coming. Got all the king's sons to come. Absalom went along. And when he got in there, David's son Absalom killed his half-brother. And then Absalom fled. Now David is dealing with the tragedy in his family. His daughter has been raped. One of his sons has been killed by the other son. The other son has run and put himself into a place of hiding, a place of isolation, a place where the king can't see him. His life is turning into a turmoil. But David's general Joab says it's about time to bring the boy home. It's about time to let him come on back. So David consented, and Absalom come back to Jerusalem. And instead of living in the palace, he lived apart. But Absalom was a handsome man. He had it all. I believe he's the fellow that when he walked down the street, all the women went, I think the old women looked at him and went, the young women looked at him and went, all the women looked at him and just went, what a man. And he knew that. And Absalom began to plot and began to move and began to find favor with the people. He began to tell the people what they wanted to hear. You remember over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think it is, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to beware that in the last days the people are going to have itching ears. They're not going to want to hear the truth anymore. Amen. They're going to want to hear the preachers to tell them what they want to hear. And Absalom began to be one of these. He sat in the gate, and he sat in the judgment seat, and he told the folks, don't go bother the king, just bring your problems to me. I can help you with your issues. I can help you with your situation. And he stole the heart, the Bible says, of the people. And they come, and they've told David. Said treason is taking place. Absalom has stole the heart of the people. And all the men of war were clamoring unto Absalom. The people were saying, Absalom, Absalom. Where is that? They used to say, David, David, David. And that was Absalom, Absalom, Absalom. And David knew that mischief. David knew that danger had been plotted and planned against him. And he quickly told his household, says, gather up and we need to go, we need to flee. And we need to find a place of safety. And as David was fleeing, oh, he faced different things and had to deal with different people along the way. But one most notable was a man of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, he was of the household of Saul. His name was Shimei. And as David passed by in 2 Samuel chapter 16, you can read the account. He said, "Oh, thou bloody man, thou son of Belial." And he cursed David, the king. And he throwed stones at David and at those who traveled with him. And he was pelting them with rocks. And he ran along the ridge of the hillside as the king was riding by, cursing the king and throwing rocks at him. And Abishai said, "Let me go cut his head off. Let me just go put him to silence." And David said, "Just let him be. Just let him be." David's in a dire situation. David's in a bad place. Here he's an old man that would be more comfortable in the palace. But he knows what it's like to be a man of war and to be a man of meager means and to live in the wilderness. It's not the time and it's not the place where he would want to do that. But this is where he's at. His son Absalom is seeking to kill him and has raised up an army and they're coming and they're pursuing. David is fleeing with his household and those servants that go with him as swiftly as he can. He's trying to get across Jordan. He's trying to get on the east side of the river and kind of have some kind of a buffer between them, something that might slow an army down a bit. David is moving and he's left some behind that are on his side that gives some good counsel to Absalom and kind of slow him up on David's behalf and reminds him that his father is a father of war. His father David knows what fighting is all about. Absalom, no doubt, as a king's son, probably never had to fight for anything. Amen. But he's got puffed up. He's got lifted up. And this is where David is in this psalm. I told y'all that it had a purpose. This is where David is in the psalm. David is fleeing from his own son. He's fleeing because of the turmoil that sin has brought in his life. He's fleeing because trouble has now found him and trouble is coming his way. He's fleeing and he's trying to keep his household. He's trying to keep everything that he can intact. But he knows that danger is right behind him. And David writes the psalm. Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 are both penned during a time when David is running and when David is under assault. And in verse 5, it just strikes me so strongly. He says, "I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me." In Psalm number 4, in verse number 8, he said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." You see, in the midst of all his trouble, and in the midst of all the trials that were facing him, David could look back over the years that God had walked with him, and he knew that God was going to be enough. Amen. And I got good news for you today. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you, he's enough. Amen. Amen. David wrote this psalm. It was a bit of a testimony. It's kind of like that song that I just sung. I've been through some trials. I've been through some battles. I've been through some storms. Let me tell you something. I've been through enough to know that he'll be enough for me. Amen. I've been through enough to know that he's always been enough. He will always be enough, and I will never want as long as I walk with him. Amen. Look at three things that David said. Three things, and we'll go to the house. He said in verses 1 and 2, He said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I remember old Shimei cursed him and called him a bloody man and called him a son of Belial. Amen. Just a fake Christian. He questioned his relationship with God. He questioned his relationship with the one that David trusted in. That's one of the first things that the devil wants to do, to tear down your confidence, to tear down your testimony, to tear down your ability, is to question your relationship with God. Amen. I tell you what, you think when you first get saved, well, it's bad, the devil comes by. Let me tell you what, he never gives up. Amen. He never gives up. Ask some Christians who are going through a hard trial in their life. If the devil hasn't stopped by and says, is this God that you claim and this God that you serve really able to deliver you? Amen. I like Darius when he put David in the lion's den. Daniel put Daniel in the lion's den. He said, your God will deliver you. And the next morning, he couldn't wait. He run to the lion's den, and he moved the stone away. And he said, Daniel, was your God able? And Daniel said, yes, he was. Amen. Let me tell you something. He's always enough. Amen. He's always enough. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what he claims. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care what some of these other false doctrines come your way. You know, we got all kinds of people that want to tell us something, and most of them are liars anyway, because they don't know what the Word of God really says. They just pick out the parts that they want. Let me tell you something. My God is always enough. Amen. Amen. And my God always cares. Amen. Amen. Just because a child of God is going through a trial, don't think that God does not care. Amen. Don't think that God is not there. Amen. I might not be able to feel him. I might not. What Job said, he said he hung Orion and the Pleiades in the heaven. He set the earth, the world on its foundation, and he can tremble and make it shake. But he said that he can pass by me and I not even perceive that he's there. Amen. But he knows he's there. Amen. I know he's there. You need to know that he's there. And you need to know that he's always enough. Look at what he says here in verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. You know what that word Selah means? It's two things. It was a musical connotation in the Psalms for pause to make emphasis, but it's also a point of going back and taking reflection. David said at the end of verse number 2, Selah. He said, the devil tried to discourage. He sent people my way, troubles my way to discourage, and I need to be mindful of that. The devil don't ever give up. Amen. The devil will never let down in doing what he does. He said, but thou art a shield. He said, thou art the lifter up of my head. Amen. He said, I have something to look to. I have a safety, a means of safety. He's not only my shield, my safety. And as long as I'm resting in him and dependent on him, I can rest safe. I can lay me down and go to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. You know why? Because I know he's enough. Amen. He's enough. That David writes throughout the Psalms of all the things that God is to him for protection and for safety. In Psalm 46, he writes, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. I tell you what, if you don't ever memorize any other psalm, you ought to memorize that one, because when you're going through a trial and a trouble, it's good to know that he's a refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. How many are going through some trouble today and could use a little help? Praise God, I want you to know he's enough. Amen. How many are fearful today for something that's going on in your life and you're looking for some place to hide? You just want to get away. You just want to fade out and just disappear and find some refuge and safety and security somewhere. Let me tell you, he's enough. Amen. He's enough. How many are fearful because of the world situation today? I tell you what, this world is in a bad shape. I believe we're right on the brink of World War III. Amen. And it's going to be a war like has never been. Amen. I believe World War III is going to be a real world war. Amen. I personally believe the Lord's ready to come back and get his church. Amen. I believe everything's fulfilled that the Bible says needs to happen. Amen. We're getting to see how prophecy has come to light in these last days. Things that we never imagined could happen. And how could these things be? And how could somebody have so much power and all this control? And we see it. And we see the ability for that to take place today. I believe we need to be listening for the trumpet. Amen. And I believe it's just any day now. Just any day now. But we hear of bombings. We hear of killings. Oh, this week in France, Paris, France, and Mali, in different places where these things have happened. And it makes you wonder, when is it going to happen here? Sounds like, well, it never happened here. Well, it did on 9/11. People never thought it was going to happen here, but it happened on 9/11. 9/11 is just a precursor to things that are going to happen again. But I don't have to fear, for I know the one that has walked with me. I know the one that has sustained me. I know the one that has saved me. Amen. I don't have to fear. He's my safety. He's my protection. And though the world destroy me, what did Job said? Though after this flesh, the worms destroy, they might kill me. They might put me in the graves. The worms might destroy this temple of clay in which I dwelt. He said, yet I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. I still have hope. I'm still at peace. I'm all right with it. Amen. They cut my head off. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I don't want them to cut my head off. I wouldn't mind it if they'd just take a sword or something and just, you know, I've thought about that. You know? Well, I mean, it's a difference. I'm holding on your head and trying to hack through your throat and cut your head off with a hunting knife. Hey, man. I don't mind dying. I just don't want to hurt while I'm doing it. Amen. Hey, man. Hey, man. The dying ain't what worries me. It's the getting there. Hey, man. Hey, man. But nonetheless, I know that he's able. Amen. Amen. Nonetheless, those Christians that knelt there, and you see the picture of a line of Christians just knelt up with those ISIS fighters behind them. And somebody sent me an email last night, I think it was, or something on Facebook or whatever. But we need to quit calling them ISIS. There's another name for them. Huh? Daesh. Call them Daesh. When you refer to them as Daesh, that's an insult to them. That's the most degrading thing that you can say to a. That's the most to call them ISIS legitimizes their government, or their government that's not really a government. It gives them some legitimacy. But when you call them Daesh, hey man, and we see these Daesh with these Christians, and they got them lined up in the orange suits, and they're sitting there, and they're getting ready to take their heads off. You know what? I believe it's going through those Christians' minds. This is going to be painful for a few moments. But my God is going to escort me from this world to the next world. You know why? Because even in my dying hour, even with my dying breath, he's enough. Amen. Amen. He said, no, the psalmist said, look, he said, they're pursuing me, they're cursing me, they're questioning my relationship with God, but I don't worry about it. He's my shield, and as long as he's taking care of me, I don't have to worry about a thing. He's taking care of me all these years. He's taking care of me through all these battles. He's taking care of me through all these conflicts. He's taking care of me through all these trials. And praise God, this is just one more little bump in the road, and I know that he's enough to sustain me. That's what he said here in verses 4 and 5. Or in 5 and 6, I mean. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Psalm 55, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out their days, but I will trust in thee. You know why I can trust in the Lord? Not only is he my shield, not only does he keep me in safety, he sustains me from day to day. Amen. Amen. He not only provides for my physical need, and praise God, you know, I've never had a time when I have had to be in want, because he has always sustained me in my time of need. Amen. Amen. Now I have folks, and I've told you this before, I'll say it every time. I have had folks that criticize me for making that statement. They say, well, I'm a Christian, and I've not been able to pay my bills, and I've this, and I just have to look back. God said he would supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I can't help it. If you have been a bad steward with what God has given you, don't blame it on God, blame it on you. Amen. Some of y'all didn't hear what I just said. Don't blame it on God. If you can't pay your bills, blame it on you. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Amen. Now I might take what, if I take what he gives me to pay my bills with and squander it, that's my fault. That's not God's fault. Right. Amen. Amen. And the same ones that tell you all this stuff, you listen to them talk long enough and you find out that's just exactly what has happened in their life. Right. Amen. Right. I'll say, and I don't say this, and I've told you all before, I don't say this in a bragging way. You know that car we got out there, that new vehicle sitting out there we got last year? That's the first brand new vehicle my wife has ever had. Amen. You know, we could have went and bought new vehicles. Probably. But it might have come at an expense of something else. I'm just telling you, you know, God has always supplied our needs, but he's expected us to be good stewards with what he's given us. And we've tried to use what he's given us effectively. It's nice to go plop your backside in a brand new automobile. But sometimes that new automobile isn't always cracked up to be. If it isn't what God wanted you to have. Amen. If God's wanted you to have brand new ones, hallelujah, glory to you. I've seen people, though, take away from their kids. They take away from their families. They struggle with things because they had to have a brand new car. They let vanity, and they let the lust of the flesh drive them, and then they moan and complain about God. Right. Well, it's so hard. It ain't hard to be a Christian. Right. Amen. It ain't hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to trust God. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to surrender things to him. It's hard not to. Some people say, I can't believe, we were talking about this in Sunday school today, how people, they criticize, and the world, the Bible tells us, is going to criticize us for the life we're living. I can't believe. Do you believe so? And if they find out somebody's tithing at work, that's all you hear. Hey, I can't believe. Do you believe that they said they give 10% of all their money to the Lord? I said, yeah, hallelujah. I can't believe they're not giving more. Amen. I can't afford not to tithe. Amen. And I don't know why God brought that up today, but I don't never preach on money. Amen. I don't have to. God takes care of things. But my lands, David says, I laid me down and slept and I awoke because he sustained me. Amen. When I learned to trust in him and I learned to depend on him, I learned to put my reliance completely in his hands and in his care. I can have peace in my life. I can lay me down in peace and slumber. I can lay me down when trials and storms of life are raging round about me. Why? Because he's never failed me. He's never let me down. He's never left me without. He's always sustained me. He's always provided for me. He's always had everything that I need. And I have found when I've trusted him, he's always enough.
Amen.
Amen. He's always enough. I believe sometimes some folks sit around and they just wait on God and don't do anything to help themselves. Amen. But I believe God expects us to be busy. God expects us to do what is required of us. He provided everything that Adam and Eve needed, but he gave them a job to do in the garden. Amen. They had a work to do. It was their job to dress the garden. Amen. God didn't provide everything for them for nothing. And he's not going to provide everything for you for nothing.
Right, right.
Amen. 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 But he'll supply whatever you need.
Right.
When you trust in him and depend on him. The Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. What's the greatest need you have? It's the need of salvation. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you don't know him as your Savior, you'll never know peace. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and you don't know him as your Savior, you'll never be satisfied. Because this world can't satisfy you. This world can't supply what you need. This world can't give you what you're longing for. Because what you're longing for is what was broken in the Garden of Eden. A right relationship with the Lord. And the devil will try to tell you that he can fill you with everything. The devil will try to tell you he's got enough. But he never will have enough. He'll always come up short. I don't care how much liquor you drink. I don't care how many drugs you take. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many women you run, how many men you have, how many animals you can kill, how fast your car is, what kind of boat you got, how many airplanes you can fly, how many trips you've taken. I don't care about any of that. It will never be enough. But you find a child of God that's content to knowing that God supplies all their needs.
Amen.
And you'll find out God's always enough.
Amen.
I've seen some of the poorest people I've ever known with some of the most horrific physical disabilities you could ever face that have the greatest peace of anybody I've ever known. Because they've trusted the Lord and they know Jesus Christ in their heart as their Savior. See, David says, you're my shield and you sustain me. He said, but your salvation is what will deliver me. You're my Savior. Verse 7 says, arise, O Lord, save me. Thank God for the night. I realized what sin was doing in my life. I realized what sin was going to do in my life. And I asked the Lord to save me. Do you remember a time? Do you remember a place where from the heart, not from the head, not from lips, not from what somebody else told you to say, but from the heart, You cried out and asked the Lord to save you. If you don't, you'll never feel secure. If you don't, you'll never feel satisfied. If you don't, you'll never know peace. He said, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you got Jesus in your heart, and you know Jesus as your Savior, and you know the salvation that is of the Lord, you don't have to fear anyone or anything. He said over in Psalm 140, I said unto the Lord, thou art my God, hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. David said, listen, he said, save me, O Lord, thou art my salvation. He was resting and he was putting his faith and his confidence. He was putting his eternity. He was putting his deliverance in one place, and that was in the Lord. In Psalm 140, he said, thou art the strength of my salvation. If you're dependent on coming to church, and that's what you're dependent on for salvation, you need to reevaluate. If you're dependent on being a Baptist, I was raised a Baptist. Grandma was a Baptist. Grandpa was a Baptist. Great, great, great grandmama and mamam and great papa, they were Baptists. My family goes back. We've been Baptists for several hundred years. Well, that's all well and good. But if you don't know Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. David says, save me, O Lord, my God. Deliver me. Thou art the strength. My salvation doesn't rest in who I am. My salvation doesn't rest in who my parents were. My salvation doesn't rest in what denomination, what church my name's on the roll book. My salvation rests solely in the name of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus dying on Calvary's tree and paying the debt of sin that I owe, so I don't have to go to hell, I can have confidence. I can have assurance. I can have peace in my life in knowing that I don't have to worry about anything because I have set my affections in the right place. Amen. And on the right one. Apostle said, neither is there salvation in any other name. I don't care how religious you are, without Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. Paul said, it's not about our works, but it's about the grace of God that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. If you're trusting in your good nature, your good ability, you're going to split hell wide open. Folks say, well, I've given and I've done and I've blessed the church over the years with all that I have. If that's what you're depending on, you're going to split hell wide open. I got a brother that's a Mason. And they wear them silly little aprons. And they have to believe that there is a God. I asked one time, well, what God? Well, just as long as you believe there is a God. I said, well, the Muslims believe that Allah is a God. My Bible says there's only one God. Tell me which one y'all believe in. Which one are you dependent in? You depend on that silly little apron to get you to heaven, brother. You're in trouble. You're going to split hell wide open. Amen. trust in the living God.
Amen.
Lord God Jehovah.
Yes.
The I Am. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the last. There's only one God. And if you're dependent on anything else but Him, you're going to split hell wide open. David, in the midst of his trial and in the midst of his trouble, knew that he was saved. Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I'm saved and I don't have to doubt that I'm saved. That I know, that I know, that I know. I'm glad I'm saved because I trusted Him. The strength of my salvation. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through, but just living in this world we live in. We live in troubling times, troubling situations. Maybe you're going through a personal battle of your own, as David was going through. And you don't know peace. You don't know what it is just to be able to lay your head down and know that you don't have to worry about anything. You don't know that you're saved. You don't know that Jesus Christ dwells in your heart. You don't have that confidence. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, you going to get a song with them?